You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2005. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Make sure you visit techpodcast.com for more great tech shows. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd, the geek from Geek News Central. And as always, we have a terrific show lined up for you tonight. I've got lots of great materials. Just a little bit of update for you on what's been happening around here. This weekend, I took a little time off and took care of some personal business, and also actually got a lot of work done on the techpodcast.com site and worked on some documents over there. So it's been was a pretty productive weekend. Along with that, I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman on Saturday, I guess it was, Saturday afternoon, and he goes by the name of Maynard, and he's works at Walt Disney World in California. Is it Disney World or Disneyland in California? I guess it's Disneyland. Yeah. Well, anyway, he runs one of the attractions out there, and he is a absolutely amazing voice person. And I'm going to play some of his tracks here in a little bit on some of his voice work he does. So those of you that are podcasters out there that are looking for a person to do some voice work, this guy is has some amazing talent. But anyway, we'll get into that a little later. Hey, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, I want to make sure that you get over to the geeknewscentral.com website to check out all the great content over there. Along with that, you'll see a link to the podcast on the right-hand side of the page. Now, we've got I've been doing the final wrap-ups on the new site design. And actually, I went in last night and did all the final layouts. And probably what's going to happen is Thursday morning, maybe not on the main site, but you're going to start seeing a change starting out on the link blog, working into the podcast site, and then onto the main site with the new site design. That is basically phase one. And then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be rolling out some new colors for the podcast portion and the link blog portion of the website. We're real excited about those changes, and I think you're going to like the new design. I know that a bunch of you that I have sent over to the test site and actually gave you a preview have been real happy with it. Now, hey, it is the first of the month, and I only do this at the beginning every month, but I would like all of you to please go over and vote for the Geek News Central podcast at Podcast Alley. There will be a link in the show notes tonight. You just have to click on it, enter an email address, submit, and you'll be done for the entire month. We definitely appreciate your support when you go over there and vote for the show. And we'd definitely like to encourage you to vote for other shows that you like over there also. You're not limited to voting for just our show. You can vote for others. I want to thank Jim out there for his donation of Tiger. That was most appreciated, but my upgrade on the Mini, the upgrade went fine, and everything, I basically stuck the CD in and did a couple of clicks on, some selections they had there for me to choose it from, basically walked away from it and went downstairs and watched a movie with the wife. Restarted the Mini, everything looked good, played around with it a little bit, and I'd like to some of the new functionality of Tiger. And I said, okay, time to do a check on all my normal podcasting apps. So I loaded Audacity, and the first thing it did is it complained that it couldn't find the audio device. And to this day, we are still down and out with Audacity on running on Tiger. I can't get it to work, so I need to play around with that a little bit and see what is going on. So, you know, typically upgrade blues here. And then, of course, my FTP application that I like using, it's called Captain FTP. That application is also broke, and software vendor says he is not going to have an update out until later this week. But I guess I don't feel so bad, because operating system upgrades on Windows are just as crazy. You know, you have applications that work and other ones that don't. Okay, I've been getting a lot of entries for the contest, and here's the deal. You need to send a one or two paragraph basically write up on what you think about podcasting, where podcasting is headed, how podcasting has changed the way you listen to audio, and send that submission to geeknews@gmail.com. And I'm going to put, I've got a big pile of them already printed out, and I've actually forwarded about 40 of those entries to our mystery judge, and him and I are going to start whittling through those this weekend, and we're going to find us a winner, and we're going to find it's going to be in three categories. If you are a listener or a wannabe podcaster or an actual podcaster, and we will be calling you midweek next week to let you know what you've won. And you're going to be, I think you're going to be very surprised with the prize. And then we will play that, those announcements on our 64th show, which airs on May 13th, where we will reveal once and for all our big announcement that we've been waiting to talk about. Now, a lot of you have been, at a call out asking for camera suggestions. A great number of you sent me camera suggestions. Matter of fact, the diversity and the number of cameras that you all own really didn't surprise me. But I've got to sort through about 25 different suggestions and whittle it down, and hopefully be able to find a different type of camera that will have a faster shutter speed. Now, when I do roll the new website out, and I'm going to talk about our webmaster a little more later, but he has learned, it's a buddy of mine out of Chicago, and he's learned movable type from the ground up, and he's had a great time working on the redesign. And he can be reached at newbirth@gmail.com. So when the new site rolls out, and if you like what he has done, and you want some new, a facelift on your website, he'd be a great person to contact. Now, some of you know that I suffered a very serious back injury last year, June 1st. And it's been almost, we're coming up on over 11 months now since that injury. And there was about 5 to 6 months where I was very immobile. I could walk around, but I was in a full body cast. It was basically from my navel, actually below my navel, from my waistline all the way up to my armpits. And it was one of those clamshell devices and wasn't really comfortable to wear, but the alternative was much worse because of the injury that I suffered. I basically smashed my L1 vertebrae in what's commonly known as a burst compression fracture. And during the recovery time, when I was still on pain medicine, I didn't really gain any weight. But after I came off the pain meds and was really had this non-active lifestyle, I put the pounds on big time. And I think I was up to about, Shoke was in the office with me here, honey. What was I up to, about 200 pounds, 205 pounds? I was up quite a bit. Well, I've been PTing and watching what I've been eating, and I am happy to say this morning, or actually this afternoon, after I got off the cross trainer at the gym for 1 hour and stepped on the scale, I'm sitting at about 188. So that's been nice, and hopefully the weight coming off will help some of the ongoing back pain that I've continued to have. But it's kind of feels pretty good to start getting in shape again. And I actually, the hardest part has been doing sit-ups. And I've actually up to about, I think I did 45 today. And it's still very difficult, but it's one of those things that when you have a serious injury, it takes a while to get back to 100%. But the goal weight's 175, and if I can get there, it'll be the lowest weight I've been in 10 years. So it's a challenge, and I think a lot of us geeks spend too much time behind the computer, and that helps put on the poundage. We've got some reader email. Aaron Hey, I thank you for your comments, and and it wasn't necessarily a contest entry, but you talked a lot about some of your feelings that you have on what's going on in the podcast community right now. I feel for you, man. I think it's about the I have a I'm not going to go into Aaron's comments, but I definitely do agree with you on most of the points that you make. And we'll just have to see how things go over here over the next couple of months. Those of you that are thinking about doing a podcast or but are worried about your bandwidth, I use a service called Libsyn, LibSyn.org, Libsyn.org. And what they do, they have a service where you pay strictly for storage, unlimited bandwidth. They have a distributed distribution system in which as the shows are new, it's on the higher speed pipe, and then as the shows get older and less demand, they move offload them into servers that are not so high speed but are still available. They are going to change the way they're archiving files. So basically, now any file that is that we upload to the site or any other Libsyn customer uploads to the site, your file is going to get the best speed for the first 30 days, and after that, then it's going to be moved off to the slower servers. But you know, that's fine. I think that's great of them to work it that way. What they were doing originally was I would put up a show, let's say on April 29th, and they would roll all the archives to the slower sites on the first. So some of our newer shows which were still getting hit pretty hard. We're seeing a suffering in download, and I think they realized that and have went in and changed the mechanism in which they roll stuff to the slower servers. So if you're a Libsyn customer, this is good news. And also, if you're a prospective podcaster, libsyn.org, I can't speak any more highly of that service. And no, that wasn't an advertisement, and they don't pay me to say that. So that's a true testimonial from me. Another Aaron sent me an email and told me to, we had talked about some bargains before, and he said go for all of you to go to techbargains.com. You can find all kinds of sale items from Staples, CompUSA, Best Buy. So those of you that aren't getting the newspaper anymore, you can go to that website and actually find the coupons that are normally in the newspaper. Joey asked me which ISP did I use in Maryland for my server co-location. Joey, that ISP unfortunately is out of business, so I really can't do anything for you there. And I've been away from the East Coast for such a long time, I really could not even make a half of a guess who would be a good service to go with. All right, I want to talk to you about the smallest smartphone in the world. It is powered by Windows Mobile from Microsoft and is sold in the USA at AT&T Wireless as Audiovox SMT5600 and in Europe as Orange SPV-C500. Get latest information about this and other cell phones powered by Microsoft at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. Okay, before we get into the content, I do want to play this clip from Maynard. Now, this guy has an amazing voice. He does over 50 different characters. This clip's about 1 minute and 11 seconds long. I think you'll really enjoy it. And for those of you that are looking for voice services, I'll get the information up on Maynard in the show notes. So check this track out.
Oh, and just to think, it looks so attractive in those brochures at the Sea Monster Travel Center. Oh, phooey.
No secret agent should be without a peanut butter and jelly gun. Here now, allow me to demonstrate. Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Long live the King.
We salute your boycott on that dreaded broccoli.
I have been watching your every step, and I know you are a spy.
Hi, kids. On today's show, we're going to meet the world's only bungee jumping elephant.
The time has come. to fry his circuits.
Oh, Sharky, my friend, she's not just another mermaid with a pretty face. No, she's an angelfish. Oh.
And that's just a small sample of what he can do. And I tell you what, I had a great time. We met at Starbucks downtown, actually in Waikiki. And, I tell you, it was one of the most interesting conversations I've had in a very long time. And he's got this signature hat that he wears that is quite cartoonish. And he wore it. We took a picture together. And I'm going to have to check his website out and see if the picture is up yet. But if it is, I'll point you over there, and you all will get a great laugh. And if you go to California Walt Disneyland, make sure you find Maynard, because I guess he does some great stuff in some of the attractions. And I actually point to his website, and you can check out what he does there for Disney. Now, you know we're going to go to Podcast Expo in November, and you know that the Geek is going to meet with all the listeners. They come to the Podcast Expo, and we're going to have some cocktails together. So here's a reminder about Podcast Expo.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
I know I went into a lot of little tidbits of stuff tonight, and the viewer, the listener email, and but I've got a lot of other great content for you. There's an article tonight on Boing Boing. It actually came out on Sunday that there is going to be a time traveler convention at MIT. So any of you that are out there that are time travelers, you can go to the time travel convention on the 7th. And I'll put the link up there. Of course, you should already know about this because you probably already have went to the one in the future and had returned and already know about it. So, but anyway, Time Traveler Convention is being hosted by MIT on the 7th of May. So enjoy. Have a good time. In the business news, it appears that newspaper circulation has dropped 1.9% over a six-month period ending in March. So it just goes to show that the online community is having an impact on newspaper sales. This is an overall decline over a greater period of time. But I think what's interesting is that many mainstream companies and news organizations are finally starting to put RSS in. You know, the majority of the news sites have it. So you can get your news with your news aggregator, as you all probably already are. And, you know, it's odd. I think I see sometimes articles from bloggers and talking about a subject. And then 2 or 3 days later, I will see an article on a mainstream website. In other words, like a Business Week or CNN. And then 2 or 3 days later, I'll see that same article in a newspaper. And I still get some periodical magazines here, which come a week later, or maybe 2 weeks later, and I'll see the same article again. So it just goes to show you that I really do think that bloggers are starting to really get the information out on what's going on in the news long before journalists touch it, or it hits before it hits their presses. So I think we're going to see a widening of that gap as more people come online. You know, stuff happens in your local community, and you talk about it, and it just spreads quicker. So if you guys have had the same experience, why don't you drop us a voicemail at the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 and comment on that, because I think it's important that as we go through this paradigm shift, as more and more, as a matter of fact, I thought I saw another survey that said that like 44% of all, I think it was 14 to 22-year-olds get their news online. So, you know, it's a power to be reckoned with, and it just goes to show you how powerful podcasting is going to, you know, how much of an impact it's going to have as we go down the road here. Okay, there is an article in the NewScientist.com website. Talks about Google is searching for quality, not quantity. So what they are going to do, and they're applying for a patent for this, is they are going to assign a score to news sites. So, you know, traditional media being CNN, Reuters, whoever else is the creator of news, and they're projecting that they're going to have a higher score. So that little old Geek News Central, who writes a article on their website, would not necessarily be ranked in the article, you know, in the website is high. So in other words, mainstream media or those that are under more reliable sources will get the top portion of the search engine entry or search engine results, and the weblogs and, you know, all the other sites would filter in below. Now, this is primarily for their news site, but it also looks like it could boil over into their actual regular search engine results. But for now, it looks like there's changes forthcoming in their news search algorithm. So we'll see what happens there. And I know that the mainstream media and even people that are professional writers have complained for a long time that those of us that are supposedly non-professional writers are have an advantage that we can get to we can get our information on the net faster, and it just drives the other, you know, the other mainstream media rankings down. So I guess we'll see what happens, but it'll be pretty cool. Now, those of you that use Flickr, and I know a lot of you do, I haven't used it a great deal in the past, but I've started to use it some more recently. They have a Creative Commons license now that you can apply to the files that you upload. And basically, those of you that are not familiar with Creative Commons, it goes like this. Anything that you take a picture of is basically, that picture belongs to you. You're copyrighted by you. And you have full rights underneath the copyright law to, you know, even if it's a picture of your kids or in your house, you know, whatever it may be, it's still your picture. But they have, what Creative Commons does is it allows you to apply a license to those pictures or podcasts or weblogs, whatever it may be, whatever content you create. And you can create a license type being like attribution license. Attribution being if the person uses the picture, he has to give you credit. Or attribution no derivatives. In other words, they can use the picture, but they can't alter it and they have to give credit. Or attribution non-commercial no derivatives. So you have to attribute. It has to be for non-commercial purposes, and you can't change it. Or completely, and it goes to the full extreme of you can't use it at all. So I think you'll, if you're worried about putting quality pictures or images up that you feel that you could possibly earn money on, but you still want to share them and want to retain the, you know, want to license them in a way where people know how they can use your images, make sure you use that feature within Flickr. And I'm not going to do that. My pictures aren't that important, and half my pictures don't come out very good. So if somebody wanted to use them, more power to them. Now, there is a, you think we've got it bad here in the United States. In the Netherlands, there's a proposed tax on MP3 players. And this has a possibility of devastating sales of hard disk players, and it's going to cause some issues. But they are going to impose an extreme high tax on any device that is over a certain storage level. And they're actually going to charge, US here, $4.30 per gigabyte. So that would add let's see what it says. This might put an additional $235 to the price of a top-end iPod. Think about that. Okay, a top-end iPod, the 60 gigs right now, what, $499? So that's $500. Add another $235 on for the tax, the surcharge, so that it's basically to protect, you know, they're saying that people are stealing music, and this is going to be a way to pay the artists and make sure that they are paid the royalties. They are assuming immediately, of course, that the people that are buying these devices are all stealing content. You know, isn't that nice? You're guilty just because you're buying an app, a device. Now, not on top of that, let's say they go to iTunes and buy music online. Not only they're going to pay once for the DRM, they're going to pay twice. You know, it's ridiculous. But that's what's happening in the Netherlands, and it doesn't look like the EU is going to step in on this. So I'm sure a lot of people in the Netherlands will be going out of the country to buy MP3 players. I wonder if the wonder what customs will do when people come in with MP3s. Will they levy a tax on import of MP3 players to the Netherlands? That could turn into quite the lucrative black market, I would think. Somebody go with a truck, buy a truckload of iPods, and then, you know, it's more profitable than probably selling cigarettes out of the back of a truck. All right, I read a disturbing article today about where some states have actually given convicted felons access to the internet. And, of course, some states have realized that that is not such a good idea. And there's been a bunch of legal battles with that, with inmates, convicted felons, having access to the internet. You know, you would think you get in trouble. You know, you do the crime, you got to do the time, you'd go to jail, that you would be limited in, you know, activities such as surfing the internet. But apparently, a lot of these people are using third parties to send email. I guess, you know, I guess I don't understand. I guess they got to call someone, collect, and say, send an email to, you know, Joe Schmuckatelli about this. And then when I'll call you back and get the response to the email. That would seem awful painful. But that's what they're doing. They're using intermediaries to go online. So, well, that just shows your taxpayer dollars at work for those states that are allowing inmates to surf the internet. Now, I guess if they're doing something where they're allowing them to take online courses and they're saving money and giving them rehabilitation, that might be one thing. But just to surf the internet to surf, I don't know if I agree with that. Okay, now, Engadget scored an interview with Bill Gates. So those of you that are interested in the article, Engadget's got part one up. Of course, I'll have the link to this in the show notes tonight. So you'll be able to, little stuff that they cover the Xbox, they cover cell phones a little bit. They don't go too much into the media center PC. They do go into the PlayStation Portable. So there is a fair amount of information here, and looks like a lot of this they did not paraphrase, so it's a direct responses from Bill. So I think you guys will, it's nice to see Engadget score this interview, and go ahead and check it out. All right, what else do I have? Okay, you've all heard the news that, well, maybe not all of you. News was released today that Adam Curry scored a deal with Sirius to be going on their satellite. He's going on starting May 13th. He's going to get 4 hours a day on one of the channels. What channel is it? It's one of the talk channels that allows commercials. He is going to have 4 hours a day to talk about, I'm assuming, his lineup of people that is on Pod Show. He did say in a podcast today, and I listened to it, he did say that he was going to accept entries from everyone. Now, the details on that have not been worked out, and he's got another guy that's actually going to be doing part of the production on this. But I can almost bet that his lineup of people are probably going to get priority. You know, I guess the man has put the time in and is investing his money. He should be rewarded. But I sure hope, and Adam, if you're listening to the show, which I doubt that you are, but if you are, you know, I hope that you stick true to your word and that you promote a lot of the podcasts that are getting started and those that are down in the dirt and basically have not been found yet, and continue to talk about podcasts that you may not be affiliated with, or they may not be affiliated with Pod Show, and you know, encourage people to go listen to other shows out there. And I know you're going to be looking for more talent, but I hope the format of the Daily Source Code is what you use for the Sirius show, so that, you know, those that are out there that are working real hard are going to get some exposure also. Now, with 4 hours a day, you can do a lot of exposure, especially if you're doing little clips, promo clips, that kind of thing. I think you can cover a lot of territory with that. So we're all going to be listening. And you know how fickle most of the podcasters are right now. But anyway, congratulations on that deal. And we look forward to see what's going on. And I hope you check out show 64 to see what our announcement's going to be about, too. Okay. Those of you that are, and this kind of goes back to the Flickr article almost a little bit, but tags are starting to be used a great deal all over the net. And, you know, I every article that we have on the Geek News Central website is basically tagged, and it's tagged via the category. And I've actually told some of our associate editors, the one that helped with content on the site, to start expanding our categories. I think right now we've got about 15 categories, but I think they need to be defined a little deeper. Some of the categories have like 1,100 entries in them, and that's kind of ridiculous. So we need to break the categories down a little bit better so that content that we produce from now on is going to be a little easier to be found, and it has a little broader scope in the, you know, in the basically ability for you all to find stuff when you're looking for it. Now, with our new site rollout, you're going to see some changes to the actual layout of the site and how you can click through and get around from different site, from one site to the other. And with the color change that we've got planned for, and this is, I'm telling more than I should here, but the color change that we have planned for the podcast portion and the link blog portion, you will definitely know that you're at Geek News Central. You know, we've got kind of a strange color scheme already. You know, it's kind of dark, that, you know, it's kind of that dark green. Well, we're going to brighten your light up. Brighten your life up a little bit with our some of our new colors. The new colors aren't coming right away. We still have a rainbow of assorted colors that we're looking at. So we are definitely going to want your feedback. I'm sure you're all going to be freaking out, but enjoy when it's rolled out. Okay. I read a real good article. Oh, actually, I'm not going to talk about that. I'll go back to that a little later. Let's see. Let me skip down here. Okay, have you heard about this? There's a design student who invented the hollow glass to prevent drink spiking. Now, I know when I am overseas, and especially in some of the third world countries that I have traveled to, when I'm at the bar or out having cocktails with the buddies, I am real leery about my cocktail, and to the point where I don't leave the table and come back and pick up the same drink. I'll usually either finish the drink or take it with me wherever I'm going, but I'll never come back to a drink that has been left unattended. Just because you never know, and depending on where you're at, what's going to be put in your drink. And this is happening a lot in the States with, you know, people using these date rape pills and that kind of stuff. You know, people spiking drinks. So this gal, really smart, she invented a very cool glass that is going to really prevent drink spiking. Now, she put a patent on it, so I hope that she does well. I hope it's picked up by a lot of bars. This is a real problem out there, and for those of you that have college-age students, you know, you want to warn them about drink spiking because, you know, there's a lot of unscrupulous characters out there that are doing stuff bad to, you know, not only females, but also males. So good on her for developing that. Nice to see that she's using that college education to her advantage there. MCI is that bidding war continues. You know, it looks like Verizon's raised their offer to $8.5 billion. You know, I have a little bit of a history with MCI. I did some professional work with them in the mid-80s. And actually, when the Dial One wars were going on, and actually really did some great business with them. But, you know, they kind of changed their scope, and I'm no longer an MCI customer. But I think that with this restructuring with Verizon possibly going after them, this could mean, I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. They definitely don't want Quest to be taking them over. And they're saying that some of their larger business customers are not do not have threat to leave, basically, if Quest is the company that ends up buying them out. And I wonder what the story on that is. Is there something that business companies do not like about Quest? And if any of you got any insight on that, I need to do some digging around and see if I can find some information and maybe kind of squirrel out why these bigger businesses are saying this about Quest. There must be some bad blood there or something. Okay, I read a great article today. It's called RSS Advertising is Here, Whether You Like It or Not. And I want to read a quote from Dave Weiner. And Dave says, advertising in RSS is just starting now for all practical purposes. If we wanted to, as an industry, reject the idea, we could by asking the people who create the software to add a feature that strips out all ads. Make it to default to on. Then that would force advertisers, if they want to speak to us, to do so respectfully by our choice. Create feeds of commercial information that we might be interested in, and if we are, we'll subscribe. If not, we won't. I guess I have a tendency to agree somewhat with Dave. You know, Dave's a pretty outspoken guy. You got to respect him for his opinions. He's very strong on his opinions. And I read his site on a regular basis over at scripting.com. And there, you know, I think there's two categories of people. There's people that love Dave and people that really don't like Dave too much. And I know some of you fall into that same category. But at least, you know, the man is very straightforward and with what he has to say. But the person that wrote this article, and I really like marketingstudies.net. This is where I found the article at. I do like what they have to say about RSS and, you know, marketing that goes along with the channel. And they have some counter arguments to Dave's comments. But, you know, just today, and I'll give an example. I went to an article. I loaded up one of the sites that I read. And let's see if I can find it. It was a site from, if I load that, it'll screw everything up. Let me look here. Well, it was one of the major news sites. They had one news article and seven advertisements for the day. And I saw on Engadget's RSS feed today, you had article, advertisement. I don't know about you, but they just irritated me to death. And it's in a little square box, you know, and your eyes, typically you're trying to read the content. It just causes your flow to get all messed up. And it actually slows me down from reading. So if I can give anyone any advice, and those of you that are going to put RSS advertisements in your feeds, you know, space them out. You know, maybe one a day or, you know, and try to keyword your RSS feed so the stuff is relevant. You know, and Dave's got it right. You know, I really think he does. And I just hate this stuff being shoved down your throats. You know, we put Google AdSense ads on our website. And we've got them, they show up in the individual feeds. They show up on the right-hand side of the webpage. And I tell you what, I think the most of the times they get them clicked are from people that are coming in from search engines, which is cool. But I just don't know. You know, we've talked about this a number of times already. But, you know, I'd really like to hear what you all think about RSS ads in the RSS feeds. So, you know, either you can email me at geeknews@geeknewscentral.com. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. But I really would like to hear your guys' feedback on this, especially those of you that don't have web blogs, those of you that are strictly listeners and consumers of content. Tell me what you think, all right? I guess I'll get off this horse. You know, it's like kind of beating a dead horse here. But for those of you interested in the marketing study, marketingstudies.net, and it'll, of course, be in the show notes, so you can check that out. Now, I did find a link on Ziff Davis to a book that I think I'm going to go out and buy. It's called The True Origins of the Personal Computer. I'm kind of a history buff when it comes to reading about the technology that led to the basically the personal PC. And they actually go back to, some cultural issues, counterculture movement in the 60s and 70s that... Who wrote this book? It was partially on John Markov. He has basically, made some comments on how the counterculture movement of the 1960s and early 1970s drove the emergence of personal computing. I think, if nothing else, this will be an enlightening read. And I think I'm going to go ahead and order it on Amazon. And when I get done with it, I'll give you guys a little bit of a feedback on what I thought. And but anyway, that is, I thought it was pretty cool. And I think we'll see some more reviews on this also. So I'll keep you informed. All right, Google. we're not going to talk about Google anymore. I'm going to skip that article. Okay, Wired has an article up about NASA scrubbing the shuttle launch, and I think we talked about this on the last podcast. Apparently, they're still concerned about that fuel tank having some icing conditions. They're going to install some heaters in some of the places which would already been planned for future launches on some of the other shuttle launches, but they had not gotten to this fuel tank yet. So they're going to roll her back to the assembly building, and it's going to be taken care of over there. Now they're looking at a July 13th time frame. Well, too bad that they didn't get off in the time frame here that they had set up in May. But I guess better safe than sorry. And once they get the engineers are happy, I'm sure they will be ready to rock and roll and get flights back to the International Space Station. Along with that, I did see a article up today that talked about orders have been given to scientists to prepare for a Hubble repair mission. So, you know, that's like hoorah, hoorah. I'm glad to see that's going to happen and that the Hubble is going to get a servicing. I think that is it's kind of like a national asset. It's one of those national treasures that is up there in space doing work for the scientists and learning of things that, learning new things about science and space and, you know, I think we need to invest in that. I think it'll pay off in the long run. Okay, there is and I didn't even know that the Brits were still shooting a rocket. They had this rocket called the Skylark that made its 441st and final Skylark rocket launch. And it went down today. It's really a low, doesn't go up real high, I guess. Actually, it can reach 400 miles. And doesn't carry very much, pretty small, but this is the last one that they've shot. And it's actually this rocket originates from the 1950s. And the company that was shooting it was doing it for commercial purposes. But it is they're out of spare parts, no more engines and that type of thing. So the Skylark is a done program. But I think it's pretty cool that they have been still. Since the 1950s, they've been using the same technology to shoot a rocket up as high as 400 miles. So pretty cool. All right, what else do we have here? I think we talked about that already. All right, let's talk about Tiger a little bit. There's some articles that are out there talking about Spotlight, and some people are saying, what's the big deal? And I played with it a little bit. I think it's pretty cool. I have not deactivated the launch bar yet to play with it. So I think I'm going to experiment with it a little bit and see how it works. There's been some mixed reviews from people, especially on Mac Slash, talking about how they were not really happy with Spotlight and it didn't do quite everything that they wanted to do, including not remembering some of the settings that the people were setting up into it. So it was every time it was closed, it was not recovering in the previous configuration. A little news on Longhorn. Robert Scoble has been given the go-ahead to basically put and it's a kind of resurfacing of what they call Team 99. It's a Longhorn evangelism team, and they're going to use approximately 20 individuals to basically talk up Longhorn, talk about it, maybe positive, hopefully positive and negatives. I have never been on a Microsoft test team for software before. And I don't think I have enough time in my schedule, but I know there's a lot of hardcore geeks out there, Windows users that are already testing the latest builds of Longhorn. And it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about the application or about the new operating system. All right, folks, that's all I have for tonight. It's very, very late here. It seems like the last two shows I have started much later than I should have. And I can always tell when I do a later show because my body is not fully dialed in. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Friday's show we get started a little earlier. But as always, please send us comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central or call the call our voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Go over to Podcast Alley and vote for us. This is my one plea or beg or ask, and it's kind of sad to say beg. But anyway, get over there and vote for us one time during the month, and also make sure you vote for other podcasts around the site that you like. And I hope everyone, every comment I got back from everyone last week, they enjoyed the ukulele. So I may play a little bit of that tonight. It all depends. We're a little long tonight, so I may not be able to. But hopefully by the next show, the new site design will be up. And also, make sure you get your contest entries in, all right? Send your one or two paragraph submissions to geeknews@gmail.com. And that'll be a wrap, folks. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha.